minutes after the 1 o'clock hour. Welcome back to the whole show, powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios, getting set for, well, Colorado State's first game of the season, taking on the Fresno State Bulldogs. And who better to talk to us about the Fresno State Bulldogs than the voice of the Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. Paul, thank you so much. On short notice, by the way, but thanks for giving us some time today before game night.
Hey, you bet. It's college football. I mean, everybody's ready to go at a moment's notice because you never know when at a moment's notice things might get canceled. So it's just one of those bizarro years, and I'm just excited we've got a game here tonight.
Yeah, hey, Paul, on a side note, what was that like for you last week? I never know where the broadcasters are now. I never know if they're there. I never know what that's like. I don't know if they're in the, you know, doing the game from a hotel room. What was it like for you personally last week?
You know, it's one of those things you realize what you've taken for granted for so long, because a lot of people are doing this under very difficult circumstances. But no, it was great for us. They did move us out of our normal booth at the stadium and put us up on the roof, but I thought it was actually a little better vantage point. Probably going to be a little chillier up there tonight with the elements, but being able to be there and see it in person and describe the action as you see it, as opposed to a monitor that can't capture the whole view and the whole atmosphere, That's really ideal for someone calling a game, so I'm thankful we're still able to do that.
And Paul, what was it like, the lack of fans, of course? That's got to be a strange one, too.
Surreal. Absolutely surreal. And, you know, one of the reasons that Bulldog Stadium has one of the top 25 winning percentages in the country for any home field is that the fans here are so phenomenal. And the Red Wave, you know, is almost a mythical situation that people talk about after they bring their teams here and they leave. They say, boy, that was a tough place to play. And so to do a game there without that element, without the palpable presence of the crowd, not just the noise, but when that crowd's there, you can feel it. You feel it from, you know, the tips of your toes to the top of your head. And that's different. And it's, you know, until they allow fans to come back, it's just not going to be the same. So it was pretty surreal to be there for that.
It's interesting when you look at it, both the college and maybe even the NFL side of it, depending on who's let into the games. But you look at it and you wonder, there's not really an advantage other than travel. And then maybe sometimes that could be a disadvantage for the home team because you're used to a game going a certain way. You're used to the hype. You're used to, you know, maybe the fans lifting you up a little bit. So maybe it can kind of go the other way for that home team sometimes.
I think 100% it goes the other way, and we were talking about that the other night. I mean, traditionally a home field advantage is because of the crowd. Now if you're the road team and you're saying, hey, I don't have to hear those people yelling at me the whole time, hey, we can actually hear each other talk when we're on the field, you know, that's a huge advantage. You convince yourself as the visitors that you have an advantage. And the interesting dynamic with that in the Mountain West is you have some schools that aren't allowing fans and some schools that are allowing some fans. So, for instance, next week, Fresno State will play at UNLV in the new Allegiant Stadium. They're going to allow a fractional crowd, and that means, you know, UNLV will have some kind of presence, but it also means that for the first time this year, some of the Fresno State players' families might actually get to be at the game. So it's weird, you know. It's different everywhere you go, different in different parts of the country. And I think that's the word for 2020, just different. It's a completely different sport in college football.
Yeah, you never know what you're going to expect. We're talking to Paul Leffler, the play-by-play voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs. And like we heard here in the Colorado area, getting set for a New Mexico game, we're pumped up. We're ready to start the Steve Addazio era. And then early in the week, the game was canceled. So, the Rams fans still haven't got to see what Steve Addazio is all about. And as you know, with what you see on the Fresno side of things, you know, fans don't get to see a whole lot of what's going on. Media doesn't get to see what's going on the practice side. So a lot of us are just, we're ready. We're going to be glued to the TV at 8 o'clock Mountain tonight.
You know, I think that's the thing, too, is it's making everybody hungrier. You know, fans that can't be at the game, they're not going to take it for granted when they're allowed back. You can see that the players are hungry. I can imagine there in the Rockies, you know, how hungry people are to see the Ed McCaffrey era in Greeley eventually, once that wait is over. And with the Rams tonight, you know, they finally get to get started. So, it's a big deal, and you know the players are amped up, and you wonder early in the game if some of the things that happen on the field will be related to how fired up those players are. Will they overlook something? Will they be too juiced? Will they, you know, over-pursue a running play? Will they miss an assignment because they're too fired up? But And with Fresno State, that's complicated by the lack of practice time the Dogs have had as well. But again, it just expect the unexpected, and that's why we love sports, the unexpected.
Yeah, well, you said it. You mentioned a few new coaches in the area. This station here, the voice of the Bears, we were pumped for the McCaffrey era, and yeah, we're putting that on hold. How about Fresno State? A guy familiar, a great history with the Bulldogs, but Kalen DeBoer, I know you think highly of him. I know the Bulldogs fans think very highly of this head coach.
Yeah, it's really interesting that a head coach who hasn't won a game yet, I think, is so highly regarded. And part of that is how well the team did when he was here as offensive coordinator. You know, they did win a Mountain West championship, won 22 games in 2 years when the team they inherited had only won one game the year before. So, yeah, that was impressive. But I think it's just who he is and how he carries himself, how he expresses himself. You can see the rapport with the players, with the coaching staff. But he's a really genuine guy who's just had success anywhere he's been. And, you know, Bulldog fans can't wait to see that first win. But I'll tell you, having done a show with him this week and spent some more time talking to him yesterday, he's definitely concerned about Colorado State. He knows Coach Addazio's physical reputation. Now you've got the curveball today. It sounds like, you know, the transfer from Temple is going to be starting at quarterback and not O'Brien, who Fresno State faced last year. So, again, not to beat the dead horse or be a broken record, but expect the unexpected. And I think these coaches need to as well, and they need to be ready to adjust on the fly.
Yeah, and what's interesting, and on the Hawaii side of things last week, when you look at the box score there in that game kind of unfolding, is they were able to run on the Bulldogs for 323 yards. That quarterback was moving around. So I'm wondering today, a lot of things were going through my brain as far as that decision by Coach Addazio, but then, you know, Todd Sentio can run a little bit better than Patrick O'Brien, so I'm wondering how much that was a factor when looking at the game last week between Fresno State and Hawaii.
I'm sure it was a big factor, because not only did Cordero pile up that yardage, and those 116 rushing yards for him are with the sack yardage subtracted, so he actually had a better rushing day than that in that element of the game. But they also switched things up with Calvin Turner, who they list as a running back but played quarterback at Jacksonville last year. They used some wildcat sets with him with two extra O linemen, a seven lineman front that Fresno State really didn't adjust well to. So I'm sure that the Rams coaches looked at that film and said, hey, we think we can win at the line and out physical Fresno State. So I think the onus is on the Bulldogs tonight to prove that they can be that tough and physical up front and stop the run. And if they don't stop the run, they know it's going to be a long night.
On the pass rush side of things for Fresno, you look at what Kwame Jones had three sacks. Was that in the first quarter, Paul? It seemed like he was off to a hot start, and then you kind of start peeling guys out of that game because guys are getting so tired. But man, he looked unstoppable early on.
Yeah, he did. I mean, it was three sacks in the first quarter.
Wow.
And we're thinking, hey, remember that game 1989 when Ron Cox had seven sacks against Cal State Fullerton? Could that record be in jeopardy? No, it wasn't. But part of that, I think, is telling. It was Kwame was cramping up. Mm. And here's a team that wasn't on campus at all from the time COVID hit until after the Mountain West reinstated fall football. So that, you know, they didn't have access to the weight room. They're on their own to try to be in football shape. And he wasn't the only one who was dealing with some conditioning issues. So you'd hope that's cleared up, but it's only 5 days later. That could rear its ugly head again tonight. And I'm sure the coaches are going to keep close tabs on who's getting how many reps and how frequently they're substituting.
We're talking to the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs, Paul Leffler. I'm always a fan of unique defenses. I'm curious to see what CSU does. I know they're thrown in this Fox position. I'm very intrigued by that to see how they use it. But on the other side, for Fresno State, they got this 4-2-5 defense and then a Husky position. I just like the nicknames. I don't really care if it's just the exact same. I just like the fact that you name them something different, and it seems unique.
Well, and I guess a Husky is a dog, so it fits with the Bulldogs a little bit. It's a distant relative, but if they have to play Washington or next year they play UConn, they may want to change that position name. But the coordinator of that defense, William Inge, is a really charismatic guy. You know, he coached Khalil Mack at Buffalo, and he's got some great stories of that. And he's been at a lot of different places in college football. So, you know, he's experienced, he's connected, but he's working with a team that may or may not be suited for that alignment. And I think that's what he has to discover. You know, they have had a few injuries that are a factor, but I think tonight's a big test. Can the personnel they used the other night in that same alignment be successful against a physical running team? If not, do they have some change-ups? Can they change their front? Can they go to an odd front, maybe an extra guy on the line? What are some of the things they can do to try to counteract a team that wants to overpower them like Hawaii did in that second half? And that's probably the biggest thing I'm watching for tonight, in addition to how the quarterback play is.
And I think that's what's so interesting about this short season, and you know, how much can you really take from last week's game? Is that what this team's going to be? Because even if it was a regular season, Paul, we'd say, oh, well, that was just the first game. They're going to try to iron some of those things out. But you said it. Fresno State didn't practice a whole heck of a lot. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think the Bulldogs practiced until the schedules were released. Is that correct?
That is correct, and that's, you know, the coaches are very careful to say, hey, that's not an excuse.
Sure.
We don't want anyone talking about that. We don't want to think about it. But it is the reality, and, you know, from that standpoint, they are at a disadvantage compared to the rest of the Mountain West. That's just the way it is, and I think the spin on that is Fresno State's greatest teams and the greatest moments in Fresno State history in any sport are underdog stories. This is an area that, you know, has people in the Bay Area and L.A. saying, oh, Fresno. You know, and the thought is those people think they're better than the folks here in the Valley. So there's always that underdog mentality, that chip on the shoulder, and that's when the Bulldogs are at their greatest. So if they look at that and say, hey, that's another disadvantage, hopefully from the coach's perspective, it's just more fuel for that underdog fire.
How about on the offensive side of the ball? Jake Haener, the transfer from Washington, four turnovers, I think. I believe he had the fumble, too. Three interceptions in that one. But I still, you know, watching that game, I still kind of really like the look of him for the most part. But you got to wonder how much of that is just ironing out the kinks against a team like Hawaii early in that first game of the season.
Well, I think that's a lot of it. I think probably if you look at the whole team, the person who could have benefited from more practice and especially more scrimmages, more live situations, would be Jake Haener. It's just been so long since he had played four quarters in a live football game. You know, he got a little time at Washington, but never a full game. And, you know, it's been since high school. So this is really his first Division I game. It's such a surreal situation. Nobody in the stands. There's some emotions worked in. I mean, his family has history in the Valley. His parents actually met at Bulldog Stadium, and that's where he's playing, but there's no fans there. He's wearing a number 9 that was retired for the record-breaking Kevin Sweeney. I mean, there's all these little dynamics going into it. So you can imagine how it might not be routine and comfortable, and I think he did some things we probably won't see him do too much, like bailing on a good pocket when it's only a 3-man rush. The coaches don't want him doing that. He tried to force the ball downfield a little too much through those interceptions. One of them wasn't his fault. It hit the receiver right in the hands, bounced off his pads, went up in the air, and got picked. But, you know, those other turnovers, as far as he's concerned, are absolutely on him. He knows he can be better, and he's looking to prove that tonight against a Colorado State team that came into the Valley last year and beat the Bulldogs on their home field.
Yeah, that was one of the you know, the big wins for Colorado State. Didn't have a lot of them, but certainly that was a big moment for the Rams last year. Paul Leffler joining us, the voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs. And, Paul, we'll leave you on this one. I keep wanting to say, what does the tape show Fresno State? But there's no tape with Adazio's crew just yet. But you look at, obviously, some of those stars on the offensive side. Not a whole lot of stars on the defensive side for the Rams, maybe, you know, other than Manny Jones. But, you know, Dante Wright stormed onto the scene last year for CSU. Marcus McElroy was a decent back last year. And then certainly Trey McBride, the tight end. Those are the guys, right? Those are the guys you're circling if you're the Bulldogs tonight.
Yeah, in addition to probably, you know, two different quarterbacks that you may see in the game, regardless of who starts. You know, and McElroy had a big game in Fresno last year. McBride had a big game, had a long touchdown in Fresno last year. I can tell you absolutely without hesitation, they're thrilled that Warren Jackson isn't suiting up for the Rams this year because he was a matchup nightmare. But no, I mean, they're going off tape from Boston College last year, tape from Ball State in the past, you know, tape, anything they can draw conclusions from as far as who's calling the plays and what their tendencies are as they're looking at. But personnel-wise, yeah, the guys who were here last year, they have an idea of what they're capable of. And, you know, you mentioned Manny Jones. I'm looking forward to seeing how he does on the interior of the line tonight versus where we've seen him in the past. And we saw last week some of those first game of the year jitters, I think, from both Fresno State and Hawaii. So I'm also curious if Colorado State may have some of those moments early in this game where the rush shows or maybe the enthusiasm causes them to do a little too much.
Yeah, no doubt about it. It should be. I think Rams fans are just excited to have football, get it back going here. I'm not real sure what the realistic expectations are for Colorado State are this season, but I think for the most part, fans are just ready to see them on the field. Paul, really appreciate your time, man. I hope we can do this again down the road.
You betcha. Good to talk to you. Have fun tonight.
All right, man. That's Paul Leffler. He is the play-by-play voice of the Fresno State Bulldogs. And, man, this guy does his homework, doesn't he? Talking about Manny Jones switching to that D-tackle side of things. Manny Jones had 5 sacks last year as a defensive end, but moving him inside now to see what he can do. Hopefully he can create some havoc there. I want this defense eventually, and again, with a new coach, your identity is not... It's you can't expect the Adazio identity to be there game one, maybe not even season one. That's why I've always said with head coaches in college, especially, you got to go 2-3 years, you know, before you really put their feet in the fire to the fire. You got to evaluate. You got to see how they do in the recruiting process. Once those guys that they recruit actually get in and play some meaningful reps, so. It's the start. When I ask the question, when the Power to Play poll question is up, what are your expectations? Do you expect Colorado State to have a winning season? You might want that, or you probably do want that, but I don't expect it. Do I think they can? Yeah, I think this is one of those games that that you got to win because the season doesn't get any easier. I thought the New Mexico game was a game that you were going to win, so thought maybe you'd start the season 2-0, but that New Mexico game's bye-bye. So, yeah, I think if you're looking at somewhat of a successful season, maybe that's 3 wins. I actually pegged the Rams for 3 wins, but this was one of them, and the game last week was one of them, New Mexico. Wyoming's going to be tough. Boise State's going to be tough. And then you see Air Force down the road, San Diego State. I mean, it gets harder as you go here, so 7 games. And if you want to try to find some success this season already, yeah, this is one of those games that you looked at that you should be able to win. But then again, that's a little unfair because I just don't know what to expect from Colorado State tonight. All right, we'll take a quick break, 22 minutes after the hour. Colfax, I got a $20 gift certificate to the Windsor Mill Tavern. Go grab a little drink right before the game, or a bison burger, or just a regular cheeseburger, whatever. Relax a bit before the game tonight at 8 o'clock. That's the Windsor Mill Tavern. $20 gift certificate. Caller number 3 on the First Advantage Hotline, 970-353-1310, or toll free 877-353-1310.
Catch Inside the Bears Den, presented by Chris Musa Agency Allstate Insurance, Tuesday nights, Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.